Our scripture this afternoon is from Philippians chapter 3. We are continuing our study together. Although, just need to alert you for a moment, I'm doing something a trifle unorthodox. Just let you catch your breath for a second. Philippians chapter 3, as we work our way through Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, we would have been at the verses 17, 18, and 19, which speak of the enemies of the cross whose God is their belly. I didn't want to say that about these men who've stood before us here this afternoon. So I thought I'd go to the next passage, and that means next Lord's Day, the Lord willing, we go back and pick up the verses 18 and 19. Over against those whose mind is set on earthly things, who are enemies of the cross, whose God is their belly, our citizenship is in heaven. And that's our focus here this afternoon. So Philippians chapter 3, in the Pew Bibles, you may find that on page 1350. Give our attention to the holy word of God. We'll begin reading at verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship, this is our text, these last three verses, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. So far from the holy word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, over against the folly, Paul is warning against, and we'll have to wait till next week to consider the folly of one being an enemy of the cross, of being one whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, whose end is destruction. We may say with confidence, by the grace of God, but our citizenship is in heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul has been urging us to come along with him. The Apostle Paul has been reminding us of the blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ had laid hold on him. And if we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid hold of us, we know that he will not let us go. And if we know that the Lord Jesus Christ will not let us go because he's laid hold of us, we have an eager desire to join with the Apostle Paul in running for the prize, running toward the goal, running with eager anticipation to the day when we will see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face. We want to lay hold of all for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of us. Now, Paul, as we've seen in previous sermons, has asked us, asked those to whom he is writing, to come along with him in this pursuit. And we desire indeed to do so. And he asks us to follow his example. We've seen it, verse 17. And the reason this is so urgent in the first place is shown us in verse 18, because of those who are enemies of the cross. But by God's grace, we are not enemies of the cross. We are those who have come to understand our hope is found in the cross. We are those who delight in what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us in the cross. And therefore, by God's grace, we are those who are followers of the cross. So the second reason that he gives is picked up at verse 24. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is another urging that he gives us in terms of why it's so necessary to follow hard after him and to follow his example. Remember who you are. Remember what citizenship is yours. Remember where you are headed. And that makes all the difference. Now, when we speak of citizenship, you understand we speak of belonging to a realm. Many of us here this afternoon probably hold Canadian citizenship. Some of us don't. And some of us that don't hold Canadian citizenship perhaps desire to do so. And there are different categories, of course, like permanent residency or protected residency that protect us from being on the outs or aliens with no place to lay our head, so to speak, or no rights or privileges. When we speak of citizenship, we speak of the blessing of knowing we belong to a certain realm. But Paul would have us understand there is something I want you to understand. Our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. Now, he's not against what we would call here today Canadian citizenship or anything of that nature. You are where you are in terms of God, where God has placed you in God's providence. But he is reminding us that there is something ever more glorious. Our citizenship, our ultimate loyalty, our ultimate confidence, our ultimate hope is in heaven. And that's what our brothers have stood here to tell us and to say before God this afternoon. Our citizenship is in heaven. Let's try to unpack that blessing together this afternoon. I want to speak of this as our present experience. Our present experience, our promised expectation. We eagerly wait, we say with the Apostle Paul, for the Savior who is going to come from heaven to come and fetch us and bring us to himself. And finally, in the third place, our persistent exercise. What is it to exercise your citizenship? What is it to act like a citizen? You know your privileges. You know your responsibilities. And the Apostle Paul, I believe, helps us to understand what that means, what that looks like on the ground as we go forth from here saying our citizenship is in heaven. So in terms of his discussion of citizenship here, it's helpful to appreciate something of the context to which he writes. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. Philippi is in the northern regions of Greece, or Macedonia more properly, and at quite some distance away from Italy or Rome. Paul is writing from Rome. But you need to appreciate that in the course of the developments of history, after the murder of Julius Caesar by men the likes of Brutus and Cassius, Octavius, who would have the name later Augustus Caesar, or Caesar Augustus, would win a victory over Brutus and Cassius in the region of Philippi. And because that was the case, Philippi, as far as it was from Rome, was given the designation a Roman colony. They spoke the Latin language. They were recognized as being under Caesar. They viewed Caesar, literally, as their savior. Caesar was the one who had come to deliver them. And though they were in the midst of Macedonia, they perceived themselves to be a Roman colony. Their citizenship was in Rome. And that meant they could live in the confidence that Caesar had the responsibility to protect them, to come and help them. And when we think of citizenship as well, perhaps we think of circumstances that happen around about us in our day. Maybe you remember men who are being held in China for some time and not able to be released. And finally, you would expect that because they were Canadian citizens, they would be delivered. And finally, that was the case. Now, that's sort of the idea that the Apostle Paul is working with as well, in terms of what they would have known and would understand, and now be saying, but our citizenship is in heaven. Now, there is an important us and them going on here. Now, I think I've urged us before, I need to urge myself regularly, we should be very careful about us and them dichotomies in the way that we live our lives. You know, we are the church, we are us, and them folk out there, they are the world. Now, there's a reality that we can't gloss over, but we need to realize and we need to acknowledge and confess we also were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. We also were children of wrath, serving various lusts and pleasures. So as we think about people of the world who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not look down upon them as though we have accomplished anything in and of ourselves, that we would arrogantly look down upon them. We are more alike than we are the same, we could say in many ways, in terms of our own struggles and our own deep need for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a difference, and the difference is the grace of God. And you can see that that difference is highlighted here in what the Apostle Paul has been talking about. There are those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. And because they are enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction. That's them. But our end is in heaven. The glory that is ours. Their mind is set on earthly things. But ours is set on the glory of God in heaven. They are enemies of the cross, and we are lovers of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Their God is their belly, and so they are focused on the things of the body, you could say, in a sensual, in an ungodly, in a sinful way. But we know that our lowly bodies will be transformed to be like Christ's glorious body. So with a degree of caution, we recognize that there is an us and them. And what we want to appreciate here is that we are able by God's grace to say our citizenship is in heaven. That's not merely to say, one day I hope I'm going to go to heaven. No, our citizenship is in heaven. The sovereign Lord holds our citizenship papers. And the reality is sure and certain. Our citizenship is in heaven. We speak of a present reality, a present experience. Now, the Apostle Paul also, if to remember something of the situation that he writes out of. If you would go back to Acts chapter 16, you would see there the first time the Apostle Paul gets to Philippi. The first time the gospel gets over to Europe, into Macedonia. And in the course of the time that was spent there, eventually the Apostle Paul is arrested because by the healing of a woman with many demons, the owner of that woman who was taking advantage of the poor lady in terms of what she was afflicted with, was losing income, and so Paul is arrested. But in the course of that time of being arrested, after they had been set free in the middle of the night, singing songs of praise to the Lord, the Apostle Paul also made the point of appealing to the fact, but I'm a Roman citizen. They wanted to let him go quietly. He says, but you can't do that. I am a Roman citizen. Now, he wasn't merely trying to make a point and make them look bad. You understand that in the course of the way the gospel is going forward, the Apostle Paul knows he wants to get to Rome. And when he gets to Rome, he's going to see to it that the gospel is clearly preached. Everywhere he goes, the gospel is clearly preached. His desire is to see that the gospel goes forward. He'll appeal to his citizenship. And he'll make the point in the course of these developments as it comes out as he needs to face. Well, he'll get to Jerusalem, and then he's arrested, and he's taken up into Caesarea, and he has to face Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And then he's all the while appealing to Caesar. He could have been let free if he had not appealed to Caesar. And he makes the point, you know, some people had to buy their Roman citizenship, but I was born a Roman citizen. He was Paul of Tarsus. He was born a Roman citizen. Now, what do we say? We say in God's covenant kindness, there are those like Jonas who were born into the covenant community, who from days of early youth have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, which is through faith in Jesus. But wherever it is we are born, the citizenship that is ours today is sure and certain only by God's amazing grace. And certainly at the end of the day, we would say that our confidence is not in ourselves, in our own place of birth, so to speak. Our confidence is in the amazing grace of God. Our citizenship is in heaven because by the mercies of God in Jesus Christ, we have been born again. We've been born again by the word that was preached to us, by the power of the gospel, which is able to save. And so, again, we speak of the citizenship that is ours. And this is a great confidence. My citizenship is in heaven. If you think of every challenge you are going to face as those who stand up for Jesus, who stand firm for Jesus, you can understand, as the Apostle Paul has been saying here in the letter to the Philippians, you are going to suffer. You're going to face opposition. It has been granted to you. Remember Philippians 1, verse 29, not only to believe, that was a grant, that was a gift of God. It's been granted to you not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake. But whatever it is, the Lord will call us to endure with Jesus, on behalf of Jesus, in the strength that is ours in Jesus. You may always know, but my citizenship is in heaven. And that citizenship, my citizenship papers, you could say, are signed and sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the work God has begun in you, he will be faithful to bring it to completion. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's a present reality. It's something we remind ourselves of again. And my citizenship is in heaven. I know who I am. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I know where I'm going. My citizenship is in heaven. Secondly, our promised expectation. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly wait. And in the course of the challenges of life, there is an intensifying eagerness. Lord Jesus, come quickly, becomes the cry of his children. We eagerly wait. And what are we waiting for? We're not waiting for Caesar to come and help us out in the circumstances we find ourselves in. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ himself to come from heaven. We eagerly wait. This is a confident expectation. This is a sure and certain reality. He is coming again. We place our whole lives into the hands of our Savior because we know he has laid down his life for us on the cross and he has taken it up again. And therefore, we know that he is coming again. We eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it explains to us what we have to look forward to as we await our Savior. What's going to happen? He is going to transform, we read here in verse 21, our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So if you just maybe see a connection with me in terms of what Paul has already said at verse 10, the blessing that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. I will learn to fit the mold of the way of suffering because I'm joined with him in his death, but it's in the confidence that I know him and the power of his resurrection. I'm conformed to his death, but I will be conformed. This lowly body will be conformed to Christ's glorious body. That's what we have to look forward to. We can look forward to the fact that this body, which is ravaged with the brokenness of sin, will one day be transformed so that there are no more effects of sin at all forever. And what a blessing that will be. Now, Paul is not negative on the body per se. The body is not my problem. Sin is my problem. But the bodies that we have been impacted with the reality of sin. And that's why we get sick. That's why people get cancer. That's why we will, if the Lord doesn't return in the meantime, we will one day die. All of these things are ravages of sin. All of these things are what compels us to speak with Paul here of our lowly body. We speak of the fact that we get old. Our memories fail us. Our concentration is not what it used to be. But more than all of that, we also acknowledge, you know, my battle with self-control and being able to maintain the raging of my wicked tongue, being able to hold my temper, being able to walk in obedience. All of these things are ongoing struggles. The Apostle Paul would speak of that as well in Romans 7, right? He would acknowledge his ongoing struggle. His desire is to do the will of God, but wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Our confidence is when the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we await from heaven as our Savior, comes from heaven to fetch us, he will transform our lowly body to be conformed to his glorious body. We will be like Jesus. John speaks of that in 1 John 3, verse 1, doesn't he? He says, one day we will see him as he is, and we will be like him. Now, we don't become God, but our bodies, like Christ's physical human body, are those that are not impacted at all anymore by the effects of sin. There'll be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And all of that is promised us in the Lord Jesus, our faithful Savior. Thanks be to God. That's why Paul is saying, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. This is what it's all about. This is what it entails. So one day, We will see him face to face. Now, what Paul is talking about here, we speak of as the blessing of our being resurrected with him. If it so happens that he does not return in the next 40 years or so, then I would say, speaking personally as perhaps a little older than some of you, then when I die, my body goes into the ground and my soul returns to God who gave it. There'll be a temporary separation between body and soul. Paul could speak of that confidence that was his. Remember Philippians 1, verse 21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It keeps getting better. Already now, I know my citizenship is in heaven. The moment I die, I open my eyes in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, Jesus Christ will come from heaven as the Savior, and he'll make my lowly body like unto his glorified body. He'll make all things new. That's the best. That's the thing that we look forward to and we may be confident of. Our promised expectation, a certain expectation. We eagerly wait for that day. And why do we know? Why do we know this is sure to be? Well, Paul fleshes that out for us at the end of verse 21, 3 verse 21. All of this is according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. He is able. He is sovereign. He is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And this isn't just talk. We're speaking of his ability. We're speaking of his sovereign power and his sovereign wisdom to bring it about. He certainly will. And again, as we remind ourselves, our citizenship is in heaven as we take steps forth from this place this afternoon into this world in which we live. There may be times when we would fret and be anxious and wonder what's going on and wonder, is God really in control? But the teaching here in terms of our Savior who is Lord and sovereign and good is indeed he is. He's got this. And according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things, even all things to himself, that's what he will surely do. He will come and he will transform our lowly bodies to be like unto his glorified body. Rest assured. That's our confidence because our citizenship is in heaven. So now finally, our persistent exercise of this citizenship. When you are a citizen, you have privileges and you have responsibilities. And the Apostle Paul rounds out this section and introduces the next, which we'll get to in a few weeks after we go back for a few verses. For verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren. Just listen to the way love is oozing forth from the way that he speaks. He's in faraway Rome. He's locked up in chains. My beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And because of the glorious hope that is ours, because it is sure and certain, the Apostle Paul is urging us now with his original hearers, so stand fast. Remember who you are. Remember you are citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. There'll be challenges. In a workaday world, in the work of our hands from day to day, there'll be challenges in our interacting with the culture that surrounds us. We want to be lights, we want to be witnesses, and there'll be challenges to lay down your commitments. There'll be challenges to sidestep where you stand. And Paul says, stand firm. Stand fast in the Lord. Remember who you are. And by the grace of God, because our citizenship is in heaven, Paul would encourage us here as well. You can. It won't be easy. You'll be tempted to take the easy way. But stand fast in the Lord. You can, because Jesus, your Savior, is coming from heaven to get you. And your eager expectation, is it not, is to see him face to face. Oh, yes, we can say, because of all of our of what is promised to be ours here, we know that not going to be any more sin. I'm going to serve him with joy. I'm going to serve him with complete focus and devotion. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm going to see David and Moses. I'm going to see Isaiah and Paul. I'm going to see the loved ones who died in the Lord and went there before me. All of those things. But we actually eagerly await the Savior. We look forward to seeing Jesus most of all. Because all of that is surely and certainly ours. We want to, and we are enabled to stand fast, to take your stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've took your stand here before us this afternoon. And so stand fast in the Lord. We'll stand fast together in the confidence we have in the risen, ascended, and returning Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the confidence we may have in the knowledge that you are the Savior who can truly save. We do not look for this deliverance or salvation from anyone else. Certainly not in the government around us. We find our confidence only in Jesus, and we rejoice that our citizenship is in heaven. And because our citizenship is sure, bought and paid for with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we may know you will indeed come and take us home. And we thank you that when we live with that confidence, with that forward-looking expectation, we are also given an earnest desire and ability to stand fast. We need your blessing and your help. We need to have a glorious focus fixed upon the blessing that is ours in eternity, fixed upon the Lord Jesus, our faithful Savior. We ask, O God, that you would bless every one of us gathered here or listening here this afternoon with that firm confidence that by grace through faith, as we come to the Father through Jesus, we would be able to say our citizenship is in heaven. Father, bless us then to be a blessing as faithful citizens of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.